May we be open to the wisdom that you have for us today. May the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouths be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God knelt by the banks of the river of life and, scooping up the mud and dust of the earth, formed it into a shape, a human shape. And God breathed life into it, and the creature made of the earth became the Adama, which means the earth creature or earthling. It was the beginning. In the beginning of the new dispensation, the day of Christ's rising, the women went to the tomb and found it empty. And Peter also ran to the tomb and found it empty. And on the evening of that day, the doors of the house where the disciples were locked, for they were afraid of being arrested by the temple soldiers. Jesus came and stood among them, even so, and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and he showed them the wounds that he had received, the marks of nails on his hands, and the marks of the spear in his side, still carrying the wounds of anger and fear, still bearing the wounds of love. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." He breathed new life into them. It was the beginning. Nothing after that day was the same, even though most did not know it. It was the beginning of the new life of the earth and the earth creatures. When we are born, the first act we do for ourselves is to take a breath, to breathe. When we die, the last act we do for ourselves is to breathe. Breathe now. Breathe deep. In ancient Greek, the word for inspire, to breathe, and the words for the spirit are related. In Hebrew, the same thing is true. In English, the word respiration, to breathe, the word inspire, to breathe in, and the word inspire, the urge to create, are based on the same word, and all are based on the word spirit. Spirit, inspire, inspiration, respiration, to breathe. This day is the new beginning. Now, this story that we tell has two parts: the story of Jesus' breath and the story of Thomas's questions. We often hear this story called the story of Doubting Thomas. And the story of Thomas is too often told as a warning, a morality tale about the importance of faith and that it is wrong to doubt. But actually, these two stories are set together for a reason, for many reasons, because Thomas is us. Not us at our worst, by the way, us at our most human. The human, fully engaged. Thomas was away when Jesus came to the disciples that first time, but he acts as a messenger, the angel of our questions. That's what angel means. It means messenger. And it also means the spirit within us. That's the sense in which it is used in the Revelation passage. Thomas is the angel of our questions. It is in our questions and our questioning we are most creative. Thomas asks for some proof, but what this leads to is a full engagement of all of the senses. Jesus appears not as a ghostly apparition, but as someone to touch, someone whose body and breath can be smelt. They see him, hear him, touch him, smell him, and share a meal, and eat with him, and taste what is good. all senses fully alive. This is the beginning. And with all senses fully awakened, with minds fully engaged, with fears set aside, with the knowledge that death has no dominion, the disciples engage all their creative and their critical faculties and begin to become the way the story is spread. And the story is about the love of the Creator for the created. It's a story that has its roots deep in the earth. It takes place in the midst of ugliness and fear and oppression and violence. And with God's breath in the people, it becomes an expression of beauty and of courage and resistance and peace and grace. It is no accident that the great religions of the world have created things of such great beauty, from a tiny whiteboard church on a prairie landscape, where I grew up, to painted cathedrals in Romania or Notre Dame, or the fantastically beautiful mosques of Medina, or the only synagogue that was allowed in Rome in the later 18th and 19th centuries, is built and decorated with incredible beauty, but made out of all that they were allowed to use, which is second-hand materials, fabric picked apart, thread by thread, and woven into things of stunning beauty. It is built, that synagogue, to be a vessel of light. Such incredible creative power in the breath of God when our critical faculties are engaged. And from that kind of creativity come the structures of other services that so often go unnoticed. Hospitals and medical schools. You'll remember the boat named Thomas Crosby that carried medicines to the inside passage. Who thought that up? The great libraries, the schools of music, the immense orchestras, the cloistered communities that quietly still go about planting and tilling, preserving ancient seeds and breeds. The practice of social work in its purest form. All these are extensions of the creative impulse imbued in the breath of God. It is also no accident that when millions of dollars were committed to rebuild Notre Dame, there was a corresponding creative outcry to capture the spirit which Notre Dame is supposed to represent, of healing, feeding, forgiving, supporting, welcoming, freeing. The requests to see the greater need and commit equally or beyond to the healing of the world when faced with the destruction of this thing created in beauty. In the midst of the ugliness and fear and oppression and violence that still exists, it's often hard to see the expressions of beauty and courage, resistance and peace and grace in the smaller things, but they are here. The creative response to the world needs all our faculties, not just faith. It needs the critical faculties represented by Thomas, the wonder represented by the women at the tomb, the love and loyalty of Mary of Magdalene, the physical engagement and the strength of Peter, the storytelling of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, the incredible desire that we all have for that touch of grace and the breath of God, that we all have for beauty. And sometimes what that requires is just to keep on keeping on, breathing deep on the climb. We are the inheritors of the Adama, the earth creature, the great creation of God. We are the inheritors of the first disciples whose new life was breathed into them by Christ, and the inheritors of Thomas whose mind was fully engaged. Each year on this day, we begin again, new life springing up around us, new life breathed into us by the renewed story, the spirit of life breathing into us new inspiration. John the Apostle wrote at the very end of his gospel, "Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name." The messengers of God, the angels, usually say to the people first, "Be not afraid." The very first thing. And the second thing that the angels say is to give us a new task. The angels that came to the prophets told them to preach truth to power. The angels that came to the shepherds in the fields were told, "Go and see for yourselves what God is doing." The angels at the tomb told the people to go look for Jesus among the living and not the dead. Therefore, I tell you, be not afraid. Go and look for Jesus among the living and feel his breath on you in both your faith and your questions. Amen.